Okay, the last but certainly not least, Delaine Johnson from Galva, Iowa, has been involved in the egg processing and ethanol industry for the last 15 years probably. And currently he's at the Galva plant, started there in 2010, and he's implemented corn oil, and he's implemented the Enogen enzymes in the process, and now I think a lot of you have probably read about this, but they produced the first cellulosic gallon of ethanol from the corn fiber in the corn kernel. And believe it or not, they've patented that and called that adding cellulose ethanol, and the acronym for that is ACE. So isn't that cool? So please help me welcome Delaine and
good afternoon. I know that I'm the last speaker before lunch, so I'm going to try to get through some things here relatively quickly. Just to kind of clarify, when we named our process adding cellulosic ethanol, we certainly didn't come up with it in an overly creative fashion, because myself and one of the folks that were working on that project simply needed to come up with a name for a grant we were writing, and the best way we could get all the words in was coming up with adding cellulosic ethanol, because that's what we were doing. And so at any event, that's just a little history that I didn't plan on talking about here today. But as we get into this, I wanted to take the opportunity to talk a little bit about what we're doing in Galva, and we are very pleased that we were able to actually produce the first cellulosic gallons on July 1. I'm not sure if it was a coincidence or not, but ironically, the pathway to consider corn kernel fiber cellulosic was finished on July 2nd. So we were very pleased with that, and glad that that was able to be moved forward, because we had worked on that for about 3.5 years, and I think I spoke to this group last year at the annual meeting about that process. So I wanted to give you just a little bit of history on the company, because I think that does kind of help lead into some of the reasons that we came up with this process and so forth. We were a farmer-owned cooperative that was formed in the year 2000. We did start production in about the year 2002. One of the key things that took place in our history was we decided to start working on an R&D facility in 2008. We had a unique opportunity with one of our employees that had gone to get his engineering degree, wanted to come back into that area, and so with that we charged him with the task of becoming in charge of our R&D facility, not really knowing what the future was going to hold, or we didn't have a specific project we wanted to look at. We had a host of projects, and we wanted to, as I mentioned in one of the earlier presentations, collect a lot of data, find out exactly what that data would tell us to do, and then move forward. So within about a year or so of that, in 2009, Travis Brotherson is our plant engineer and in charge of R&D. He actually started following a process that was converting the corn kernel fiber into cellulosic ethanol. And along the way, he basically did try to track the financial success of that, and that's why we gauged whether or not we were going to move forward or not. So we have been working on this project for about the past 5 years. I guess currently our plant is running at about 35 million gallons per year. That is not our nameplate. We were an 18 million gallon per year nameplate. And I guess we also picked up on Enogen relatively early. We had done some testing of that when that was going through the FDA approval. And when it was approved, we were anxious to turn that back on. So we actually were the first commercial agreement that was signed and put in place, and we started using that for production in January of 2013. So basically, we patented our process about 3 years ago. We started that process, and we did get the patent early this year, and so we're pleased to have that. As with any patented process, you always have other ones that come back and surround it, so we're working through that, and that's been a very interesting learning process to understand how that all works. I guess another significant point is, because of the process that we have here, we're hoping to be able to have others put this efficiency in place. And with that in mind, and the partnership that we've had with Syngenta on Enogen, we found that there are some synergies. And so we actually had signed a collaboration agreement for them to help us market this to others as we go forward. And I'll talk about that a bit later as well. And so as they indicated, we did produce the first cellulosic gallons earlier, well, about a month ago now. So just to kind of give you a visual of what this looks like, this is just the side of our process itself, the building. So there's really three fermenters in our case, and there are also a pretreatment area and a distillation column that would be added. The footprint is very small. The three fermenters are the portion that takes up the most. The pretreatment building is actually attaching those so that we're able to put the equipment on the inside of that as well. There's really nothing that is new and different to your operators in this process, which is what we really like about it. And we are using similar heat exchangers and pipes and pumps through this process that you use in your standard ethanol production. I think having someone that actually had been an operator at our facility before he became an engineer was a critical component to that becoming as easy as it was, because we were working at it trying to make sure that it would integrate well into our facility, and I think we've successfully been able to do that. To kind of give you a brief summary and an overview, this is kind of an ethanol production facility or a biorefinery, as we talked about in an earlier presentation here, with the corn that goes in on the front end and the fuel leaving the back end. And really along the way, what we're doing is adding an inline stream that's going to process the existing kernel of corn further and getting more value out of that kernel of corn that we're already purchasing and processing. So with that, what we're actually doing is adding a process where the whole stillage comes off of the bottom of the distillation. It runs through a pretreatment system where we actually take it up to a little higher temperature again, relatively mild, and at the same time allows that fiber to be broke open. At that point, we're able to put in another enzyme, which is going to help the cellulose convert during the fermentation process. So the second fermentation process allows us to turn that into alcohol. Once that is done, there is a separate distillation column so that it does not limit the capacity of the standard cornstarch ethanol facility. We're able to commingle that product at 190 and be able to separate that for RIN purposes by way of a formula or paper, which I'll talk about in a bit as well. So it really is relatively simple. It's an inline process that you add onto your existing control system. And in our case, we added one person per shift because there are some additional lab tests that need to be done. But it is not a significant alteration to your existing plant today. So I'm not going to read through all of these items. I'll let you kind of run down through that. But some of the advantages that we saw and why we wanted to go this particular direction was, again, our goal was to get more out of the corn we're already purchasing and processing. We have the product on site. We are able to take that whole stillage into this next process where we've already put the energy and heat into that system. So we weren't starting from something that was cool. That helps with the energy balance in the whole system. We're also able to utilize the first fermentation as the pretreatment of the cellulose. For any of you that follow some of the cellulosic processes, one of the first things they typically do is run that through a soak. We're already doing that in our fermentation tanks as we're working on getting the starch converted into ethanol. So we were able to utilize that as the first stage. At that point in time, now that we've already got the energy in it, we've already pre-soaked it, it seemed to us to make lots of sense to run that through the pretreatment process to make sure that we were able to capture as much of the corn kernel into high-value products as possible, one of those being the cellulosic ethanol component. I guess the other thing that we like about it is we're also utilizing the infrastructure and the people we already have. And I think that seems to be a common theme from the things I've heard today, and I think that is key because it does reduce your cost compared to others. Because that kernel of corn is already there, we don't have any new receiving, we don't have anything new that we have to do on the back end, we're simply doing an inline process. But that covers most of the items that are you're able to read there on the screen. So, you know, the question becomes, what does that change in your operation? How much more do you get? We are able to get 6% of the production increased as you add this to your system. So, for example, if you're getting about a 2.75 conversion of undenatured, you would end up with about a 2.91. There is going to be some differences based on the incoming starch of the whole stillage, just like there are differences of the starch on the incoming side with the corn that you currently process. We also, along the way, found out that when we are able to convert this cellulose and bust it open, we're also making that oil become more easily available for your corn separating system. In our process, we used to have to run it through one centrifuge, and then we had to change the pH and add caustic in order to get that oil to be loose enough to separate properly and get rid of the emulsion, if you will. At this point in time, we are not having to do that anymore. All of that becomes readily available, and we're still tuning the oil recovery system in at this point, but we are seeing higher oil recoveries. In the lab and in the full-scale testing we did, we're anticipating getting our yield to about 1.6 pounds of corn oil per bushel. That is very close to the theoretical maximum, which is around 1.8 on standard corn. Again, that's going to depend on the fat content coming in the corn, but we do believe we'll be able to get the vast majority of it. But as most of you that currently run corn oil systems understand, anything that is affected on the front end does affect the back end. So we've currently been running for less than right around 30 days. We have the front end or the alcohol portion of it running the way we would like to, near our 6% additional alcohol. And now we're tuning in the oil recovery system and anticipate that that will take a period of time. But with what we see, we're still hopeful that we will be able to receive the additional 1.1 pounds to get the total yield near that 1.5 to 1.6 pounds per bushel. And the last thing will be the feed side of things. We've made assumptions within all of our projections and our business modeling that we would not receive any higher value for the product, even though it's moving it from 28% protein to 40% protein in the DDGs. It also reduces the fiber. We made that assumption because theoretically the product is worth more, but you have to get the feed markets to actually pay the additional value. And I can go back 12 years when we actually started our facility in Galva. At that time, we all knew that distiller's grain had about 105 to 110% the price of corn value, but I think it took till about 2 years ago for the market to actually see that, and now we're actually seeing that go backwards again, given the supply that we have. So we do believe there will be more value. We haven't counted on that as part of our payback, and that's kind of our next step after we get things lined out, is to continue to do more R&D on that product as well. And I guess the last thing I just want to mention is we are planning on a next stage, because we're currently only converting the cellulose component of the fiber in the corn kernel, and there's really three components. There's cellulose, hemicellulose, and lignin. And so the next phase will be having some supplier be able to supply us an FDA-approved hemicellulosic yeast, which will allow us to add an additional 5% ethanol to our production. Those are available and out there and are being used in some of the other cellulosic processes like corn stalks and switchgrass, for example. But most of those, if you can imagine, never really anticipated needing to have them approved for feed or food, because they were going to do something else with their product that was left. Because we are going to be selling our product as feed, the FDA approval process is critical for us to have that in place. So there's various stages of suppliers that are able to supply those to us, and I think there's a number of them are working on the FDA approval process. So when you think about what does that mean for the industry, just to sit back and think about 2 million gallons being produced at Galva, Iowa, in our 35 million gallon facility, you know, it really doesn't seem like that big of a deal. But, you know, it does actually give us D3 RINs, and we've all been hearing for years that there's no commercial D3 RINs available. I guess to give you a quick update on where we're at with that process, the pathway has been made final at this point in time. There's a congressional review period, which is typically 30 days. They started that process shortly after the July 2nd final ruling, and anticipate that that will be ready to allow us to generate D3 RINs approximately August 15th, give or take. We are currently accumulating the gallons to keep them in our ownership, And at the point they are allowing the D3 RINs to be approved, we will give them our third-party engineering report, which we've already done and given to them, and they've reviewed in the background. But officially, we still have to go through the process. We have to go into the EMTS system and actually put that pathway as one of our pathways on that particular day, and then we're going to be able to generate a batch of D3 RINs for the production that we have been producing since July 1st. So we're excited about that coming up here shortly, and then on an ongoing basis, we'll be able to just generate D3 RINs as we go forward, similar to what you do on a D6 RIN. And we do meter the product separately, and I guess we're going to be working with a formula as well. And EPA is really wanting to work with us on this with something that does make sense. So we're going to be showing them the records of how we think it makes sense for all of us within the industry. And I think they'll be very receptive to that based on the information we've seen so far. So lastly on this slide, I guess if every cornstarch ethanol facility in the United States that's a dry grind, not a wet mill, would convert, we'd actually be able to add about 2 billion gallons of cellulosic ethanol into the United States out of the same corn we're already grinding. So that's pretty significant. And when you think about the RFS and the cellulosic requirements on that chart that shows those going up over years, we clearly are not able to do everything that needs to be done with this technology as far as making their targets 10, 15 years out, but we do make a very good jump start to that if others adopt this technology. So I guess that's really the technology to make the ethanol and the additional corn oil and the high-protein feed that we call ACE. One of the next things that we're probably just as excited about, and we're going to be testing here over the next, I think mid-September is when we're targeting to start this testing process, is utilizing the Enogen corn viscosity opportunity along with the cellulosic fermentation capacity that we now have to really maximize both of them, if you will. And so currently many plants are limited by the yeast dying when the alcohol hits 15% alcohol, and by us having a second fermenter that's only got small alcohol concentrations in it, we believe that we're going to be able to put more corn in the front end of the facility, have all of that go through the cornstarch ethanol process, have the pretreatment of the cellulose take place, and then have any additional starch that's not converted in the first fermentation be converted in the second fermentation along with the cellulose that would be converted. So we'll have higher alcohol concentrations. It will reduce our energy consumption linearly with however much corn we're going to be able to push through, and should make the plant significantly more efficient on a carbon footprint scenario as well. We're targeting and estimating with the information we've seen on viscosity and what we think will work in the existing equipment to add about 10 to 15% additional grind going through the existing facility because of the combination of those two items. And the energy that we would utilize on the corn starch ethanol process would actually go down linearly with that because we're already expending that amount of energy to get it through the process, and we're utilizing that much less water to distill the same amount of alcohol. So we're going to be full-scale testing that this fall, starting in September, and anticipate that we're going to be doing that all the way through January or February because we're going to go up one stage at a time to make sure that we don't hinder the process of the facility along the way. So, like I said, we're very excited about being in the industry making cellulosic ethanol. That's a little bit about our process. I know lunch is coming, so I'm not going to stand in front of you in that. And thank you very much for the opportunity to talk here today.